Brothers, can everyone please come forward? This is a mehfil, this isn't a social club. Please everyone come off the woods if you can. Jazakallah khair. And anyone who's downstairs, please come upstairs. Jazakallah khair. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم. That wasn't loud enough. Everyone, please recite the word more louder, please. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim wa salli alayhi. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear respected brothers, elders, and all those listening at home, I would like to extend my greetings to everyone by saying As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Imam al-Busiri, he writes in his Qasida, وَمَنْ تَكُمْ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ نُصْرَتُهُ إِنْ تَلْقَهُ الْأُسْدُ فِي أَجَامِهَا تَجِمِ. Whoever is aided by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if lions meet him inside their woods, they bow silently. What does this actually mean? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the guider of all of mankind. He's the leader of all mankind. And he guides and he aids all of us through many of his teachings. And many of his teachings have derived from the Prophet's last sermon, which we are going to hear about today from our guest speaker, Imam Mahin. But before I do call upon our guest speaker, we are going to begin the gathering with the recitation of the Quran. And for that, I would like to call upon Hafiz Tahir.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تكونوا كالذين آذوا موسى كالذين آذوا موسى فبرأه الله مما قالوا وكان عند الله وجيها يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما إنا عودنا الأرض والسماء إنا عرضنا الأرض إنا عرضنا أعطانا الأمانة والسماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا ليعذب الله المنافقين والمنافقات والمشركين والمشركات ويتوب الله على المؤمنين والمؤمنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما صدق الله العظيم.
MashaAllah, subhanAllah. That was Hafiz Tahir reciting the Quran. Now for the praise of the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for Nati Kareem, I would like to call upon my beloved grandfather, Ibrahim Chakwala.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mere aqa ke mudad hui hai teri raah mein har akhiyan bitate bitate teri hasraton mein teri chahaton mein bade din hue ghar sajate sajate mere aqa ke murdat hui ye hai mera iman ye mera yakeen hai mere mustafa ka na koi haseen hai na koi haseen hai ke rukh unka dekha hai jab se kamar ne nikalta hai muh ko chupate chupate mere aqa mudad hui hai qayamat ka manzar bada pur khatar hai mere mustafa ka jo deewana hoga jo deewana hoga wo pul pe se guzrega masroor hokar kinara nabi ka lagate lagate mere aqa ki mudat hui hai mere lab pe maula نہ کوئی صدا ہے فقط مجھ نکمے کی یہی دعا ہے یہی دعا ہے میری سانس نکلے درے مصطفیٰ پہ غمِ دل نبی کا سناتے سناتے میرے آقا کی مدد ہوئی ہے یہ مانا کہ ایک دن آنی کجا ہے مگر دوستو تم سے یہ التجا ہے یہ التجا ہے کہ شہر محمد کی ہر ایک گلی سے جنازہ اٹھانا گھماتے گھماتے میرے آقا کی مدد ہوئی ہے تیری راہ میں اکھیاں بچھاتے بچھاتے میرے آقا
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. He was the father of Imtiaz Bhai Chokwala, alhamdulillah. The father, son, and grandson, all mashallah, naat reciter, alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. Badi pyari naat, bahut purani naat, alhamdulillah, humne suni, alhamdulillah. To Allah tabarak wa ta'ala ise kubul farmaye. Now, without any delay, I would like to call our guest speaker, حضرت علامہ مولانا محمد معین صاحب قبلہ خطیب امام جامعہ مسجد حفظہ اللہ تعالی نعرہ تکبیر نعرہ رسالت علماء اہل سنت نعرہ تکبیر
اعوذ باللہ السمیع العلیم من الشیطان اللعین الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمدللہ رب العالمین وصلى اللہ تعالی وسلم على افضل الانبیاء والمرسلین سیدنا ونبینا وحبیبنا وشفیعنا وطبیب قلوبنا وشفیع نفوسنا ومولانا محمد وعلى اہل بیته الطیبین الطاہرین واصحابه الغر المیامین قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما جعلنا لبشر من قبلك الخلد أفإن مت فهم الخالدون كل نفس ذائقة الموت ونبلوكم بالشر والخير فتنة وإلينا ترجعون آمين صدق الله العظيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات الله المائتي says in the Quran بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما جعلنا لبشر من قبلك الخلد We have never granted to anyone from humankind خلد before What does khuld mean? Khuld means eternity. To have everlasting life. To have eternal life. We have never given it to anyone before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ Surely you, O beloved, will die, and they will all die as well. And the biggest trial to face our ummah as a whole. And this ummah has faced many challenges, from the Mongols ransacking Baghdad, to the issue of Palestine that we have today, to the issue of Karbala that we saw before, but none comes close to the passing away of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. That was the biggest test. And Allah Almighty, He chose the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt alayhimur ridwan to face that test. And nearing the end of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's life, there were signs that these were the final moments of his blessed life on this earth. There were signs. And so what were those signs? From amongst those signs is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he completed his final Hajj and he entered into Medina, he never left Medina again. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when he done his final Hajj and he went into Medina, he never left Medina after that. Another sign is that in the final year, in that final Ramadan, the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, he would always revise the Quran with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every year. And in that final year, he never revised with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, but he revised the Quran with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam twice. This was another sign that these precious moments on the earth were nearing an end. Another sign is that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he sent Sayyiduna Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala an to Yemen. He went all the way to the exit of Medina with him. And he said to Sayyiduna Mu'adh radiyallahu an, perhaps when you return, you will no longer find me, but you will find my masjid and my grave. And Sayyiduna Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu an, subhanallah, that would be a whole nother lecture to talk about the relationship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyiduna Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala an. Any one of you who wants to read further, you can read about this online. The close relationship between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and Sayyiduna Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala an. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when he said this, Sayyiduna Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala an, he started to cry. Again, another sign is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he went to Jannatul Baqi and he did dua for the people of Baqi. And one of the people who used to serve him, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and this can be found in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Almighty has given me a choice. You know, sometimes in some naats you will hear this word, Mukhtare Kul. Mukhtare Kul, used for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the one who would serve him, that Allah Almighty has given me a choice. And what is that choice? Either you can have eternal life or you can return to me. And the Sahabi, he said, Ya Rasulullah, may my father and my mother be ransomed for your sake. Choose eternal life. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the slave of Allah has already chosen, and he has chosen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are all signs, and within this there's the virtue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was given a choice of eternal life. And we find this in the hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of choosing eternal life, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam, he chose to return to his Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing to mention, especially in these testing times, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his lifetime, would always give Palestine a great amount of importance. Today, we have so many organizations, so many people to protect what they believe to be their honor, or their organization, or their institution, they refuse to mention Palestine. But I will tell you that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his life gave importance to the land of Palestine. And in the month of Safar, he started to prepare an army from the Sahaba to go to Sham. Remember, when we say Sham in Arabic, many people think this just means Syria. Sham doesn't mean Syria. Sham is Syria, Palestine, Lebanon, Jordan. All of this area, we call even parts of South Turkey, this area is known as Biladu Sham. Asham. When we say Asham, it refers to this entire area. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he gathered an army and he said, who will be the one to lead the army? And I want my young people to listen attentively. He said, the one who will lead the army is Usama, the son of Zayd. And this is something that I will say to all of you as well. From today, make an intention that the people who surrounded the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will try my best to learn about them. We have a weakness in our community where if I were to say, for example, Usama ibn Zayd, hand on heart, if any one of you, raise your hands if you know who Usama ibn Zayd is. Hand on heart. Usama ibn Zayd, subhanallah, let me just explain to you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had two people who were like his own children. We all know the male children, they passed away in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there were two people who he treated like his own children. One was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and everyone knows who he is. Another was Usama, the son of Zayd. Remember, Zayd was the adopted son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He passed away in a battle known as the Battle of Mu'tah. The Battle of Mu'tah is famous because when all the Muslim commanders died, who took over that battle? The sword of Allah, Sayyiduna Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu ta'ala an. But Sayyiduna Zayd, he passed away in that battle. And he had a son by the name of Usama. And Usama was so beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that his title was Hibbu Rasulillah. Hibbu Rasulillah means the beloved of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Can you imagine if he is the beloved of Rasulullah, how much love would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam have had for his father Zayd? You know, subhanallah, some of the Sahaba say that if Zayd were to have been alive after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then there is no doubt he would have been the first leader of Islam. But this is another discussion altogether. I'm just trying to say to you how much love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had for these people. It's our duty that we at least know about their life and their names and their titles. So Sayyiduna Zayd radiallahu anhu, he had a son by the name of Usama. And Usama, his title was Hibbu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated him like his own son. And at the ending of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? He said, gather an army to go and conquer Sham, to go and conquer these lands which are under the hands of the Christians. But who will be the leader of the army? Sayyiduna Abu Bakr is there, Sayyiduna Umar is there, Sayyiduna Uthman, Sayyiduna Ali. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the leader of the army will be Usama, the son of Zayd. And how old was Usama? Just between 17 and 20. This is how much belief that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had in the young people, that these younger people will be the ones to go and conquer that land. And subhanallah, even when I was in the land of Palestine recently, Sheikh Majdi, who's one of the students of knowledge and scholars over there, he emphasized that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his lifetime, he sent four armies to the land of Palestine. Four armies to go and conquer Palestine. And this was the importance that up until the very end, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave that importance to the land of Palestine. But these are all of the signs, and one of the biggest signs of the final moments of the worldly life of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam was the final sermon that he gave. Now this final sermon has many details. Who can tell me how many times did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam do Hajj in his life? Once? Are you sure? Once is correct, but if we were to go into detail, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in Makkah, before he went to Medina, he did Hajj when he was in Makkah as well. And Hafiz ibn Hajar, the great commentator of Sahih al-Bukhari, alayhi rahmatullah, mentions this, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in Makkah, he performed Hajj. Allahu a'lam how many times. Others, like in Sunan ibn Ma'ajah, they mention three times. others have different numbers. Even before the announcement of prophethood, so some scholars say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would perform Hajj, but after the obligation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he performed Hajj once. All of the rulings that we have from Hajj is taken from this one Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this Hajj was known as Hajjatul Wida, Wida in Urdu as well, or Wada in Arabic. It means the farewell. And within this farewell Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave a khutbah known as Khutbatul Wida, the final khutbah, the final sermon. And why is this important? Because we know if there's a final sermon, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give a summary of what Islam is. Allah Almighty says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuha ar-Rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik, wa in lam taf'al, fama ballaghta risalata. O Rasul, convey what has been revealed to you from your Lord. If you don't convey the message, then you have not given the risala, you have not conveyed the amana. Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from the people. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine on the final Hajj where there's thousands of people in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam, at that time, remember, there was no microphones, there was no speakers, but it's from the mu'jiza of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when he spoke, his voice was magnified to such an extent that every single person heard his message. And also there was someone, like we have sometimes in salah, to repeat the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Arafah, and remember some of it was said in this khutbah, some may be before, some may have been said after as well. But I'm just going to give you a brief summary of what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say in this final sermon? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O people, lend me an attentive ear, for I know not whether after this year I shall be amongst you ever again. Can you imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying this in front of all of these people who are his lovers and his slaves, and they're all listening attentively, that this is going to be the final sermon? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I may not be amongst you ever again. Can you imagine how the people were, how sharp their listening must have been? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whatever I'm going to say, for those who are not present here, then it's your responsibility to convey my message. And there's a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Rubba muballagh aw aamin sami'in. Anyone who studies hadith, this is a very, very famous hadith, that convey what you have heard from me, because perhaps the one who you have conveyed the message to will understand more than even the one who's heard the message. Subhanallah. This is why we follow imams like Imam Abu Hanifa alayhi rahmatullah. He wasn't from those who directly heard the message, but he was one of those given the understanding directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perhaps the one who you give the message to, maybe he will understand even more than the listener. Subhanallah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continued, and one of the things that he said, people, what day is this? And the people, they stopped and they said, of course, it's the 9th of Arafah, one of the most holiest days of the year. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, what month is this? And the people said, of course, Zulhijjah, one of the greatest months, the sacred month. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, what time is this? And the people, they responded, it's the time of the acceptance of du'as. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, just as Allah has made this time sacred, this day sacred, this month sacred, He has made the life, wealth, and property of a believer sacred as well. At this moment, the Prophet ﷺ emphasized that sanctity is not only in places, it's not only in times, it's the wealth of a believer as well. When you have someone's property, then consider that sacred. If you're about to kill someone, take someone's life, then remember the words of the Prophet ﷺ that the life of that believer is made sacred. The honor of a believer is sacred. Before you spread tales about people's sons and daughters and spread false messages in the community and talk nonsense behind their backs, remember the honor of a believer is sacred as well. The Prophet ﷺ, he made this crystal clear. There's no better example at that time that the Prophet ﷺ could have given to emphasize the life, the wealth, the property of a believer. What else did the Prophet ﷺ said? The Prophet ﷺ said, from this day forth, riba is now annulled. It's finished. There is no more riba. And the Prophet ﷺ, being the perfect example that he was, you know, his uncle, Sayyiduna Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he still had people who owed him money with interest. And the Prophet ﷺ, being the example that he was, he said that this will start with the wealth of Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib. That I will start with my family first, and then all of you will follow. There is no more riba. And it's a testing time for all of the believers as well that we live in a world filled with riba. And this is not the time and place to go into the scholarly differences of opinion, but wherever it's possible, there's khair in avoiding riba. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the one who consumes riba has waged war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there's a hadith mentioning that riba is even worse than zina. You know, much worse than zina. And so you have even people buying cars with interest. Subhanallah, I'm baffled. Why would someone buy a car with interest? Something that is so easy to avoid. We have people buying cars with interest, so many properties with interest. But again, that's a topic for another day. There's many different scholarly positions and opinions on this topic. But as a whole, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam cancelled riba entirely. He said, riba is now finished. What else did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finish? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he said, from today, family feuds are now finished. What used to happen in the Arab world back then was if one tribe killed a family member of another tribe, they would have a war between the tribes up until Qiyamah for them. This feud would never end. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, from this day forth, all tribal feuds have come to an end. And this is another thing for us to reflect upon, because I know many of us are not involved, but we still have young people. Just maybe 3 weeks ago, one of our students, he was stabbed 6 times. Why? You know, because I think of his friend's gang problem. So again, this is something very, very common amongst young people. Remember, in Islam, we don't have this. What we have is brotherhood in Islam. We don't have no loyalty to a gang or to a group of people, even to a jama'ah. Your loyalty should never be to a jama'ah. If you learn from someone, yes, you learn from someone. Like for example, we're Hanafi in Madhab, we're Ash'ari in Aqidah. This is our school of learning. But we should never have such an unwavering loyalty to a jama'ah that if it goes against Islam, we will take the word of a jama'ah and we will leave Islam. Our loyalty is to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever is loyal to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we should be loyal to them. The reason why I'm mentioning this is for years we've had blind fanatic followers of numerous people. This is something that has to come to an end as well. And our loyalty is with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What else did he say? He said, generally, you know, the kuffar, they used to play around with the months. You all know, from the 12 months, 4 are sacred. Can you tell me, which of the months are sacred? Number 1, Muharram. Number 2, Rajab. Number 3, Zulqa'dah, number 4, Dhul-Hijjah, these are the sacred months. Why are these the sacred months? Because you're not allowed to fight in these months. What did the kuffar used to do? If they were in the sacred months and they wanted to fight, they would change the day. For example, if it was Muharram, they would say, no, it's not Muharram, it's Safar. Can you imagine that today? Like, for example, today is the 26th of August, and someone coming and saying, no, it's not the 26th of August, it's the 10th of September. It's something unthinkable. But at that time, if they wanted to twist the rules and they wanted to fight and it was Muharram, they would say, no, it's not Muharram, it's the month of Rabiul Awwal. This is why, you know, Karbala is such a tragic event, because when was Karbala? Muharram. Muharram is a month where fighting is forbidden. And what did the others do to the prophetic family? They not only did they killed them in the sacred months. So this is something that every believer should be aware of, that we have these sacred months. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, from now the months are 12. This is mentioned in the Quran as well. Inna iddata shuhuri inda Allah ithna ashara shahara. Indeed, the months are 12 according to Allah, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from today, no one can play around with the months. All of these months are set. Nobody can change the date from now on. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he emphasized on this. And it's a message for all of us, that I know we keep up to date with our English calendar. We should keep up to date with our Islamic calendar as well. In our community, the only time where we look at the Islamic calendar is Ramadan. Ramadan and Eid. When is the moon? When has the moon been seen? If you ask someone in the middle of the year, tell me what's the date today? No idea. You know, Safar, Rabiul Awwal, Rabiul Thani. We live in the Western world. Naturally, we will know what the day is, but we should cater for the Islamic months as well. What Islamic day are we currently in? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he also said in this sermon, and he emphasized on this, that I advise you that you have taqwa of Allah in regards to your women. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned this in this final sermon, that as long as they are loyal to you and as long as they guard your secrets, then it's your job that you clothe them. It's your job that you protect them. It's your job that you feed them. Why would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention this at the very end, at his final sermon? To show how important it is. Subhanallah, some houses you go to, they treat the woman like a slave. And this still exists even today, even in Britain. And these problems are both ways. You have women treating men wrong as well. But why have women reached such a stage that they are willing to go through such lengths to make a man's life hell? It's because we've driven them that way. We've driven them as men that way. If we followed Islam, no woman from our community will want to be a feminist. No one will want to follow any liberal values. And so when we see, subhanAllah, when we see a woman and we see that she has gone so far in the disobedience of Allah, remember that we are responsible as well. And we should not ever judge people, subhanAllah. I was in Turkey recently, and one of my teachers from Syria, he told me that just not long ago he was sitting in the class. There was an Iranian woman wearing a short skirt. But at the same time, she was reading salawat on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes we automatically see someone dress a certain way and we build an image in our head that this must be the most evil person in the world. No, everyone is going through their trials. Everyone is going through the tests. And we have to realize that as well, that just because someone is deficient in one aspect, it doesn't mean they haven't reached kamal and perfection in another. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he warned that you fear Allah in regards to your woman. You be good to your women. That you fulfill their rights. And they fulfill their duties to their husbands also. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, after his final sermon, he said, "Inni tarikun fikum al-thaqalain." Indeed, I leave for you behind two things. Kitab Allah wa itrati ahli bayti. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in Sahih Muslim, as and many other works, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I leave for you my Quran, and I leave for you my Ahlul Bayt. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهَ أَهْلَ بَيْتِ. And this is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, that I remind you of the rights of my Ahlul Bayt. I remind you of the rights of my family. And who are the Ahlul Bayt? The Ahlul Bayt are the descendants of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And sometimes we have this image that the Ahlul Bayt just means the descendants of Ali. It doesn't just mean the descendants of Ali. The descendants of Ja'far are the Ahlul Bayt. The descendants of Sayyidina Abbas are the Ahlul Bayt. All of these are the Ahlul Bayt. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this was from amongst his final words, that ma in tamassaktum bihima, whoever holds on to the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, lan tadillu ba'di abada, he will never go astray after me, never. And these two, the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, they will return to me until they reach the Hawd on the Day of Judgment. This is how close the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, the connection between the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt is. And the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَةِ. I don't say, O beloved, I don't ask anything from you except that you have love for my family. And this is mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to remove all impurities from you, O Ahlul Bayt, and give you a thorough purification. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the end of his life, he did speak about the rights of his family, that you treat his family well. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, all mankind is from Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam. And what did he say? La fadla li arabiyyin ala ajami. An Arab does not have superiority over a non-Arab. وَلَا فَضْلَ لِعَجَمِيٍ عَلَىٰ عَرَبِيٍ. And a non-Arab does not have superiority over an Arab إِلَّا بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ, except their rank is determined by the amount of taqwa they have. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَا فَضْلَ لِأَحْمَرَ عَلَىٰ أَسْوَدَ وَلَا أَسْوَدَ عَلَىٰ أَحْمَرَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a white man is not superior to a black man, nor is a black man superior to a white man. Why is this so amazing? You know, in that time where people used to have empires, everyone would have a bias towards their own people. Go and read history. Read any history. You will find all leaders would have a bias to their people. But this is one leader that said that my nation, the Arab race, is not superior to a non-Arab. Nor is a non-Arab superior to an Arab. Nor is a white superior to a black. Nor is a black superior to a white. Your rank is determined by the taqwa you have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made clear, some people, we have this also in our communities, that because they come from a certain background or lineage, they think they're better than other people. This is completely un-Islamic. The one who has the most excellence is the one who has the most taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not saying that lineage doesn't have its place. Yes, lineage does have a fadl as well. There's a fada'il in having a certain lineage. But your primary task is to have the taqwa of Allah. That's why the ulama of the Hanafi mazhab, what do they say? Sharaful ilm fawka sharafin nasab. That the nobility of knowledge is greater than the nobility of lineage. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he made clear, he broke all racial barriers. There is no racial barrier. Every barrier was broken. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said in front of everyone, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he had conveyed this message, have I conveyed the message? And every single person in that majma' said, Allahumma na'am, yes ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have conveyed the message. And this was a brief summary of the final sermon and the final khutbah of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salam would then go on to return from Mecca to Medina. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fell ill a week before his passing away. And then on Monday, the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, that was the final day in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this earth. But as the ulama of the Ahlul Sunnah say, that the messengers of Allah, they are alive in their graves. But not only are they alive, some people just think they are alive, their life is even greater than this life. You know, the lives of the prophets in their graves now is even greater than the life of any man on this earth. The amount of pleasure that they feel, the powers that they are given. This is all proven from the hadith, by the way. Just because a certain movement have spread, many people assume that maybe only a few people believe this. No, throughout history, the vast majority of Sunni Islam has always believed this, that the prophets of Allah are alive in their graves, and their life is even greater than the physical life that we are in. May Allah Almighty elevate the rank of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Almighty elevate the rank of the Sahaba. And may Allah Almighty elevate the rank of the Ahlul Bayt. Wa ma alayna illa al-balagh wal-mubin.
يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك طلع البدر علينا من ثني عهد الوداع وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله داعي يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك رحمته كتاج والي دوجها كتاج والي عرشك معراج والي عسيك لاج والي يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك. When I close my eyes eternally, may your vision be my company. Even though I'm far from worthy, but I'm blessed to be your أمتي يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم.
ما شاء الله آج کی نیاز ہمارے طارق محمود صاحب کی طرف سے دعا کر اللہ تبارک و تعالی سے قبول فرمائے اور 5000 درود شریف ہے ماشاءاللہ ہمارے حافظ اکرام صاحب کی والدہ نے پڑھا ہے دعا کر اللہ تبارک و تعالی سے بھی قبول فرمائے. الفاتحہ. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا الله يا رحمن يا ارحم الراحمين ہم یہ تیرے گنہگار بندے مسجد قباء میں نماز مغرب کے لیے حاضر ہوئے, نماز مغرب ادا کی, اس کے بعد ہم نے تیرے محبوب صلی اللہ تعالی وسلم کی شان میں ان کی برگاہ میں خراج عقیدت پیش کرنے کے لیے ہم نے چھوٹی سی محفل سجائی. اللہ تبارک و تعالی ہماری اس محفل کو قبول فرما, ہم نے جو کچھ بھی بیان کیا پڑھا درود شریف جو کچھ پڑھا گیا ہے ہمارے حافظ اکرام صاحب کے والدہ کی طرف سے جو درود شریف پڑھا گیا اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ سے قبول فرما, ہمارے طارق بھائی کی طرف سے جو نیاز ہے محبت لایا گیا اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ تو اسے قبول فرما, وہ اپنے شایان شان اس کا جو ثواب تو نے ہم گنہگاروں کو عطا کیا ان تمام ثوابوں کو سب سے پہلے نبی کریم صلی اللہ تعالی وسلم کی بارگاہ بے قسمنا میں پیش کرتے ہیں, اللہ اسے قبول و منظور فرما, ان کے وسیلے جلیلت کے ثواب تمام انبیاء کرام تمام صحابہ کرام تابعین تبع تابعین دنیا کے تمام اولیاء کرام تمام علماء کرام تمام طبع تابعین تمام اولیاء کرام تمام علماء کرام حضرت آدم علیہ السلام سے لے کر اب تک جتنے مؤمنین مؤمنات دنیا سے جا چکے قیامت تک جتنے آئیں گے ان تمام کے ارواحوں کو پیش کرتے ہیں, اللہ اسے قبول و منظور فرما, یہاں پہ جو لوگ حاضر ہیں ان کے تمام مرحومین مغفورین کے ارواح کو پیش کرتے ہیں, اللہ اسے قبول و منظور فرما, ہمارے مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما, ان کے درجات کو بلند فرما, جنت الفردوس میں اعلیٰ مقام عطا فرما, اس مبارک مہینے کے صدقے طفیل مبارک محفل کے صدقے طفیل یا اللہ تبارک و تعالی میلاد النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے صدقے طفیل ہم تمام کے تمام جائز دعاؤں کو قبول فرما, صغیرہ کبیرہ گناہوں کو معاف فرما, نیکیوں میں تبدیل فرما, حاسدین کے حسد سے محفوظ فرما, ظالموں کے ظلم سے محفوظ فرما, شریروں کے شرارتوں سے تو ہماری حفاظت فرما, ہم تمام کو مل جل کر رہنے کی توفیق رفیق عطا فرما, مریضوں کو صحت یابی نصیب عطا فرما, یا اللہ یا ارحم الراحمین ہم تمام کو عزت وقار کے ماحول میں زندگی گزارنے کی توفیق رفیق عطا فرما, دنیا کے تمام مسلمان بالخصوص فلسطین غزہ کی مسلمانوں کی جان کی مال کی عزت کی آبرو کی حفاظت فرما, یا اللہ ہمیں مانگنا نہیں آتا ہم نے جو مانگا اسے دے دے, اور جو مانگنے سے رہے گا اسے دے, تو علیم و خبیر ہے تو دلوں کے بھید کو جانتا ہے, یہ تیرے گنہگار بندے اور جو بندیاں ریڈیو کے ذریعے دعاؤں میں شریک ہیں اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ ان تمام کی تمام جائز دعاؤں کو قبول فرما, جن لوگوں نے اس میلاد النبی میں حصہ لیا یا لیں گے یا اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ ان تمام کو جزائے خیر عطا فرما, تمام کے روزی روزگار برکت عطا فرما, ہمارے طارق صاحب کی محبت کو قبول فرما, پوری فیملی والوں کے روزی روزگار برکت عطا فرما, یا اللہ یا مرآمین حافظ اکرام صاحب کے والدہ کی درود شریف جو انہوں نے پیش کیا اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ سے قبول فرما, اس کے صدقے طفیل انہیں سے تندرستی عطا فرما, صحت کامل و عاجل عطا فرما, یا اللہ یا مرآمین ہم پر کرم فرما, اپنے رحمت نوار کی بارش فرما, ان اللہ و ملائکتہ یصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما, اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم صلاه وسلاما عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم, لي خمسه نطفي بها حر الوباء الحاتمه المصطفى والمرتضى وابناهما والفاطمه, سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين امين, حق لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. ماشاء اللہ.